Your guy is a superior piece of manpower.
The Sound of Mobile presents The Game Plan with Dave Schultz, live on 105.5 FM, online at WNSP.com, and on the WNSP app.
Lest we forget.
Apparently, some of us more than others. Woo! On a fired up Friday afternoon game plan, Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
Good to see you on a fired up Friday afternoon game plan.
Been a bit, huh?
Been a long time. Haven't seen you on a Friday in months.
I mean, we're talking like before Labor Day.
Yeah.
I didn't even think of that.
Fancy seeing you here.
All right. I had a great time last night at the Wine and Wishes event for Make-A-Wish. They were doing good work, raised a lot of money, good cause. I may have volunteered your fiance to help out with a dog grooming wish.
Oh, there you
go. But that's the kind of guy that I am. So we shall see. Although that would be, is that technically the Florida Make-A-Wish? It could be a combination thereof.
I'm sure they can work it out together.
Yes, I'm sure they can. All right, 694-1055, 694-1055. All kinds of stuff going on. We got the Vigor Wolves, your 4A state champs, but a little bit of controversy at the end of that ball game, and no big deal about a couple of missed extra points early on in that ball game. Pigskin Pete will be on to chat with us on the Wolves, your 4A state champs. We got Luke Johnson from the Times-Picayune and NOLA.com talking Saints. They did not look good last night, but I think the game was more about the Cowboys, and I'm not sure how good the Cowboys looked. I'm all about win and move on. I get that, but did you know that the Cowboys did not have a first down in the fourth quarter until after the Saints scored the garbage touchdown? That doesn't mean anything last night, but it damn well is going to mean something against the Cardinals, Packers, and or Buccaneers in the playoffs. We have, let's see here, we got Anthony Dasher, UGASports.com. We have Mick Gillespie, pregame show host on Bama Insider. And we got Connor O'Gara from Saturday Down South. 694-1055, 694-1055. Little news. Rudy, it looks as though Miami's going to make a little bit of a run at Mario Cristobal. It's an interesting scenario there. Mario, if you don't know, Mario Cristobal is from Miami. He was actually the coach at FIU when T.Y. Hilton was there. The AD, who was there a long time, by the way, ran him out because of one bad year. And he just stepped aside, more like ran out in the middle of the night, Pete Garcia. And so Mario Cristobal is being talked to about Miami. He apparently has a contract extension at Oregon.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Mario Cristobal, have been for the past few years. Not sure about Manny Diaz and me being a fan of his. But there's apparently trying to keep up with the either coaching search or coaching retention at Miami, trying to keep up with all that.
Well, that is an interesting
thing. It's a total
mess,
and sounds like all the boosters, there's reports coming out about, you know, half of them want Manny to stay, half of them want Manny to go, and nobody seems to be really in charge of making a decision. So, yeah, the U.
Why not? It should be noted, Manny Diaz is still currently the coach of Miami.
Yes, he is.
So they really haven't fired him yet. You usually do not see that. So often you have somebody in mind when you are replacing them, as apparently, say, the Gators did when they went out and got Billy Napier. They seem to have somebody in mind from the get-go. We think LSU had Lincoln Riley in mind from the get-go. They end up with Brian Kelly. But usually you're not still employing somebody, although I guess Manny Diaz is still getting paid, and he'll get paid if he gets fired, and he'll probably end up at LSU as the defensive coordinator.
I'm sure it wouldn't take long for him to find a job.
So he'll find a job here
as a coordinator
instantaneously. If it doesn't work out the first time as a head coach, I think a guy named Bill Belichick seems to have worked out pretty well.
Heard of him.
And let's be honest, the second job that Nick Saban had, or maybe third, has worked out better than all the rest. He did a total rebuild over there in Michigan State. All right, 694-1055, 694-1055. Let's talk about this Georgia-Alabama football game because it feels like a couple things. All right, just because I am picking Georgia to win does not mean I'm not rooting for Alabama. For you people, we want you to be happy. Also, it gives me 6 more weeks of content, or at least 4. Once that ends, that's a problem. All right? Click. You're just like me. If the Patriots lose the Super Bowl, yeah, I'm turning off SportsCenter for 2 weeks. I don't need that. I don't need to see parades. I don't need to see, you know, David Tyree making a catch on top of his helmet. I don't need to see Mariel Manningham making a catch on the sidelines. I don't need to see that. Thanks for coming. But if Alabama wins, or somehow, I don't believe if they lose even a close game that they're going to be in, but maybe they will be. You know, it gives us, they got another game. So then we get to talk about the game for a couple of days. Then we get to talk about recruiting and what the game is going to be about and who they get because, you know, it could be an all-time classic matchup between Alabama and Michigan. How great would that be? Because those two guys love each other. That would send the ratings through the roof. At least on TV, because despite Michigan being one of the more overrated programs in the history of America, they have like the largest fan base in the country, outside of maybe Notre Dame. But I would let me rephrase the fan base. The most alum in the country is Michigan because of how big the school is. So that would be great for us. I want, you know, business-wise, it would be better. But I just want you people to be happy. I'm picking Georgia. Because I think they're the better team. I don't seem to be the only one. The only person that we have had that I've seen either on our show or someone else's show to pick Alabama is Bruce Marshall. And him, I guess, along with Root, although Bruce may be more non-biased, I guess, is Dean Waite, Georgia alum. You know, like you guys said, until we see it, we ain't going to believe it. And I think, did David Pollack say the same thing? Has David Pollack said the same thing?
I mean, I've heard that. He may have, but I've definitely heard that from
that's basically
from a lot
about
of people.
It.
I mean, there's a lot of reason to be a pessimistic Georgia fan. There's a lot
but,
of reason
but that's
to
the
say
only,
that.
But that's the only thing.
Yeah.
Just like you're asking, all right, how does Alabama win the game? Don't come in the app and just say, well, Georgia's Georgia. That's true.
Well, yeah, but
just not this year.
But yeah, this year is totally different. I mean, Alabama fans would have to admit Georgia is better this year. You know, as much as that might pain you to say it, it is the reality.
But I think they do. I think most of the people.
Yeah, we've heard that from
in
a lot
the app
of them.
Have admitted that. Drew DeArmond, who's been doing this a long time up in Huntsville, and he's only picked against Alabama twice. Homer.
But that's what we talk about. So many things have to go right for Alabama.
They're just banged up.
More things have to go right for Alabama to try to beat a Georgia team as long as they do what they've got to do.
It is not out of the realm of possibility, right? I mean, we've seen much stranger things happen than jumping out to a 14-0 lead. Outside of their offense has not been particularly good against LSU and then Auburn. It obviously was pretty good again and again and again over Arkansas, right? So it's not out of the realm of possibility that they are able to punch Georgia in the nose. And who were we talking to yesterday? Oh, Brooks Austin. Saying, yeah, that first drive, it takes Georgia a little bit to get going. You know, to make the adjustments. That don't be surprised if Alabama moves it on the first drive because we've seen other teams do that. Auburn, case in point. You better finish if you're Alabama. And again, a punch in the nose doesn't have to be 14-0. It doesn't have to be 8-play, 80 or 75-yard drive, you know, 3.5, 4 minutes, and then getting a 3-and-out, and then the 78-yard home run to Jameson Williams. It can be, 7-7, 14-7, right? Think about this. Think about if it's just halftime, Root, and it's a 17-17 game. Or even, how about even this? How about if Georgia's winning 17-14? Georgia gives up how many points per game, did you say?
6.9.
Nice. So if they've given up 14 points in the first half to Alabama, and they're in a ball game, although Kirby Smart would be smart, no pun intended, or maybe pun intended. You know, obviously he's going to tell you, you would think he would be better off telling his team, do not believe the hype. This is still Alabama. I don't want to hear about any injuries. I don't want to hear about their offensive line. We need to go do what we need to do and forget about all that other stuff. But all of a sudden they look up and they're giving up more points than they usually give up in one half. And so it's not crazy. Just because I'm picking Georgia to win doesn't believe this is not, you know, this is not Syracuse playing Georgia, put it that way, right? I mean, this is still Alabama. They still have a shot. They have a good shot. I mean, the money line, what did he say, was plus 230. That's something that Alabama has not seen in recent days, or this decade, for that fact of the matter, or even the last decade, from what we saw, from what we've been told. But, so they still have a shot. They have a good shot. They just need to get off to a good start, and they better not, here's what they do, they better not become one-dimensional. That's the thing. If they can't run against Georgia, then it's going to be a big problem. Although I am really looking forward to Demoy Kennedy getting his first carry of the season against the Georgia Bulldogs. Because there's not a lot of people that, well, nobody's as big as Jordan Davis. So that's, I mean, you know, Paul Bunyan's not as big as Jordan Davis. But anybody else, Demoy Kennedy is going to be bigger than. Or just the same size. Now, you better be able to run the football at least a little bit. Because if you're if they're just going to pin their ears back and come after the passer, then it's in then I think Alabama's in trouble. That's where it's going to be a problem. I could say vice versa as well. The other way, but from what we've seen, Georgia's offensive line is much better than Alabama's offensive line. Alabama may have the better Will Anderson, and Mathis is pretty good in the middle, but overall, Georgia's defensive line has a better matchup against Alabama's offensive line than the other way around. I would also implore. Is that too big a word on a Friday afternoon?
No, let it fly.
Maybe just because I'm in the studio?
Probably.
I would implore Will Anderson to cause a turnover. Scoop and score would be a bonus, but I would implore Will Anderson to dislodge that football.
Oh, he's got to be huge. He has got to be huge.
You know, three sacks and a couple of tackles for loss will be a great game. It may not be enough. He's got to be, and we'll give some Big Ten references, he's got to be Aiden Hutchinson against Ohio State and not Chase Young from a couple years ago who got shut out against Michigan, although Ohio State won the football game, going away. That may have been more of Justin Fields. On a side note, Root.
I mean, he's got to be Derek Thomas. He needs that.
He's got to be Derek Thomas. He's got to force a turnover. Again, the scoop and score would be nice, but just get a fumble. Just get a fumble. Or it could be you hit him when he's throwing and it's picked off because it floats in the air. Also, I got to tell you, Root, Perry didn't leave me alone last night. Text kept on coming.
You got to mute that conversation, bud.
13 general managers should be fired because they didn't pick Mac Jones.
And hire Perry.
Because Perry would never take a quarterback that was blown out in the national championship game as high as the Bears did. Which I, of course, agreed with, that you should never take a quarterback who was blown out in the national championship game. And about 30 seconds later, I texted him the 2019 national championship
man,
game.
How dare you?
Who, by the way, have they won five in a row?
Miami.
Four in a row?
I think they've won.
They're on fire right now.
Haven't been paying too close attention to the Miami Dolphins.
No, they've been playing well. And they get the Giants. with, by the way, Mike Glennon as their quarterback.
6'7", Mike Glennon.
That's just his neck.
Yeah, that, right.
So, yeah, Perry won't shut up. All right, Dave Schultz, Stephen Root, Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP, bottom of the hour. Pigskin Pete will talk Vigor Wolves in their 4A state championship. All right, so one of the things I have learned living in the South for almost a decade now is how accepting the people are. They were accepting of me in Lafayette, a little bit slower here. Most of you have come around, some still holding out, and that's fine. But I think the one thing, I hope the one thing that you people appreciate is I'm still me, right? We don't do a whole lot of Syracuse or Patriots or Yankees. Well, we do some Yankee stuff, but not the other. There may be mentions, but, you know, we're not having Matt Park on to talk Syracuse football.
If anything, and for a long time now, if you're mentioning any of those things or teams, it's kind of a joke.
It's
at
a
this
passing,
point.
Right? Yeah, it's in passing. Although we did do Mac Jones yesterday, yeah, sure. Actually, and that's Alabama. So we mentioned that at the time when Patriots drafted Mac Jones. I can talk Patriots because he's got Mac Jones. But the one thing that I think you guys appreciate is that I am who I am, and I think the one thing I've also learned is, you know, in the South, the BS detector goes off fast.
We can sniff it out.
You guys can sniff it out. A lot of people are doling it, but people can sniff it out really quick. Like, and so we have Brian Kelly at the LSU basketball game a couple of nights ago. Do you have the first cut?
I want to play the whole one, and then we'll play Jeff Darlington.
Okay, so we have what he said to LSU. Jeff Darlington then has what he said to Notre Dame, and then we'll compare it to what he said to LSU. Here is Brian Kelly the other night.
Thank you. Well, this is a great way to get started, and I haven't even won all my games yet. It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans, and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
Come on, man.
All right, it's a great day to be a Tiger.
Great day to be a Tiger.
What is that?
Fake.
Right. I mean, yeah. It'd be one thing if I'd been down here for a decade and start saying y'all, because you hear that.
Sure.
All right. And again, it took me a little bit of time with the jambalaya and the boudin and, you know, telling somebody, you know, how to pronounce Tim Leger's name, L-E-G-E-R, right? And if Billy Napier was actually from Louisiana, it'd be Napier instead of Napier.
But there's a difference. You know, you're permitted to use the word y'all. It's an efficient word.
Sure.
You're cutting right down some
speak
time. You know what I
correct
mean? But going ahead and changing how you say the word day and family.
Right.
You know what all I mean?
Right.
It's just beyond, obviously, not legitimate.
So before Perry wants to yell at me, for whatever reason, Perry wants to yell at me, let's hear how Brian Kelly talked to Notre Dame earlier in the week.
Those incredible 12 years of my life, for me and my family, being here in Notre Dame.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family.
I mean, come on.
Those incredible 12 years of my life, for me and my family, being here in Notre Dame.
No, yeah, nope.
I mean, come on. So, a little phoniness, and so the next thing he's going to tell you, he's going to go into those rooms, those living rooms in Louisiana, and tell you how you're going to be family, and how I'll always have their back, and I won't leave because someone's offering me $150 million this time. Interesting. All right, here we go. Perry, you're up. What question can I answer you this time?
Dave, I'm not going to yell at you about anything. I mean, last night was another point that stats don't mean anything. When you hold a team 2-for-13 on third downs and they still beat you and you're winning by 20. Hello?
I lost you. What? I mean, what's your point from last night?
stats don't mean anything.
Stats,
you hold
don't...
a team on third down, you're 2 for 13 on third down, you should be losing that game by 10, 20 points.
I'll give you, the stat that does mean something. 4 interceptions. That's a stat.
Now, let me tell you something else, because y'all can laugh if you want, but I'm fixing to write a heartfelt letter to the NFL Rules Committee and to the Commissioner, Roger Goodell, because I'm tired of these penalties that hurt players, and when the penalty's thrown and you hear the announcer go, well, that's to protect the player. Well, when Devin White horse-collared Jameis Winston and put him out for the year, and there was a penalty for it, he's gone. How are you protecting the player? Here's what I'm supposed to. If you hurt a player and there's a penalty involved, you see it until they come back. That's the way it should be. Devin White be sitting at home until Jameis Winston recovers.
All right.
That's how that should be from now on.
You tell me when Roger get back. When Roger Goodell gets back to you. All right.
Well, I'm being serious because this is fired up Friday, and we should be sitting at 8-4 with Jameis Winston as our quarterback.
Yeah. No.
Right now.
No.
Yeah.
No.
We were 5-2 and beat the Buccaneers, and they put him out. 5-2, Dave, and now we're 5-7 with backups.
Right.
So don't tell me we couldn't be 8-4 right now with Jameis Winston. He was 5-2.
I'm telling you, you couldn't be 8-4 with Jameis Winston.
You're wrong. You're wrong. You have never been more wrong. We should be 8-4 at least.
Okay.
Maybe 7-5.
Okay. Thanks, Barry.
But now we don't have a quarterback because of Devin White.
Okay. I mean, that's true.
Yes, true. And they should do something about it. If they want to protect the player, protect the next guy. Throw the flag, and then if it's an injury and a dude leaves the game, you leave the game. Protect the next guy.
Okay, so now does there have to be a penalty, or are we going to get the guy who hurt?
No, I said if a penalty's involved.
Okay,
guys get hurt on clean hits all the time. All
right.
I understand that.
Right.
But I'm saying if you hurt a player, and there's a penalty involved because you did it illegally, you see it.
Yeah, that's not going to happen, but I understand.
Well,
the
no. They should change. And you know what?
Right.
It'll change a lot of horse-collar plays and the way they start packing. They'll start thinking, hey, I don't want to sit for a few weeks or maybe the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Maybe clean the game up. If you're going to clean the game up, clean it up.
I'm sure that the 2 tackles missing, no Michael Thomas and no Alvin Kamara, would have had no effect on Jameis Winston. Right, is that what you're saying?
I think we could have beat Dallas last night because I don't think Jameis would have threw 4 picks.
Well,
you would have looked at one of the picks, one of them was a tipped ball that floated in the air, and I think Diggs came down with that one.
What about the penalty? What about the interception that Dak threw?
Yeah, I didn't see that.
I missed that one. I was listening
to it on the radio. Yeah. I don't know what happened, but I did see the one that Taysom threw when he got the ball hit in the air. I saw that this morning.
Yeah. Dak, someone hit Dak in the face is what happened. All right, Perry. Thanks, brother. All right. Enjoy the weekend. Roll Tide.
Yeah. Illegal hands to the face. No doubt missed on Dak Prescott.
Make sure we understand this. The Saints are missing a lot more than just their quarterback. And we'll ask Luke Johnson, if you have a quarterback that's got a sprained finger and is playing with a brace over it, you have another quarterback on the bench. Can he play? When you're missing open wide receivers for touchdowns, you got to go to the other guy. But no, they didn't. They kept it with Taysom Hill, and he throws 4 interceptions. All right, let's take a timeout.
Well, we do know that they're probably pretty safe in not having to pay him $90 million for him starting.
Oh, God.
For him being the starting quarterback for 4 years.
Yeah.
That hybrid contract that was written up for Taysom Hill, that if he was your quarterback for 4 years, $90 million, not going to have to spend that.
I don't know if it was it Dan Patrick? Someone was suggesting this feels like the 2020 New England Patriots. You better go get a rookie quarterback and not Russell Wilson, because that's going to hurt you. Salary cap-wise, anyway. All right, back after this. Pigskin Pete talking Viger Wolves, your 4A state champs. Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 96.5 The Crab, classic rock and blues.
All right, I missed the Tab Benoit Samantha Fish show last night, going to the Make-A-Wish Foundation shindig. Let me know how it was, if anybody went. But a show I will not be missing there, Rude, which I was so excited to hear, what was that, yesterday? I first heard the commercial?
Yeah.
Styx is coming?
I guarantee you will be there.
I will be there, hopefully backstage. Hopefully somebody will be in the studio to promote the show on April 20th. I've talked to James Young many times. He's been, I think he came on this show one time already. I've had him on a handful of times. I'm trying to get Tommy Shaw. I've never had Tommy Shaw. They think I want to talk sports with Tommy Shaw. I don't want to talk sports with Tommy Shaw. I want to talk girls with guns with Tommy Shaw. That's what I want to talk about. So we will do a little Styx in April when they come to Mobile. That will be fun. All right, so in the app, let us know if you went to the Samantha Fish Tab Benoit show, because I'm sure that it was rocking, as they say. All right, top of the hour, we'll talk to Luke Johnson, NOLA.com, Times-Picayune, talking Saints, but let's talk a little Viger Wolves. He's Pigskin Pete, host of the Pepsi preview show and then the Pepsi postgame show up until midnight. He was at the ball game. Pigskin, thanks for hopping on. How are you?
Doing great, Dave. Doing really well. I didn't realize Styx was coming to Mobile. Man, that's a band that was in our time back in the day.
That's right. That was my first album, Grand Illusion.
Wow. Yeah, we're going back in time a little bit there, Dave. But
that's
right. Styx is great.
You know what band. They say? We'll be rocking the paradise. So we will do that. All right. Little slow start for the Viger Wolves, but they poured it on in the second half. Give us a recap.
Yeah, they did. It was a different game in the second half, Dave. You could tell Aniana, they were making things, just responding when Viger made a big play in the first half. Aniana would come back. But, I mean, if you're watching the game, you could tell Viger really was a superior team. They were more physical. Well-coached Aniana. I was impressed with their team in general, but Viger was a better team. And I was just thinking 3 years ago when Viger – had a state championship wrapped up. They just could not get it done with that 43-42 loss back in 18. I was just thinking if they can avoid mistakes, avoid penalties, so much what they did a few years ago, there's just hardly no way they're going to lose that game. And that second half, Viger started to really get it going. They responded in the first half with a running game. Ja'Cory Barnes was a huge part of that backfield with Jermaine Coleman, but MVP today, Dave, was the quarterback that transferred into Viger, has been at a couple of schools in the Mobile area, and Anthony Mix Jr. got a Memphis offer last week. He just looked fantastic. And, three touchdowns, over 300 all-purpose yards. Anthony Mix just really put on a show today, and Viger was a better team. Sometimes you play these games, and you're not sure the best team won, but Viger just really put that second half together, Dave.
And then the defense had to show up as well in the second half.
They did, and they totally shut Aniana, could not respond to it. They would get the ball and go three and out, and they hated punting because Viger was moving the ball so well. But that's what Viger's done all year. I think Viger has won with their defense, especially in the first part of the year. This is what made this team so good. It kind of reminds me of some of the older days with Viger and the defense being so swarming. A lot of good players. Fortunately for Viger, there's some players coming back. And I'm going to tell you, Dave, there's a, the junior linebacker there, Michael Towner, had a pick six today. Mm. If you start looking at players in 2022 that you want to circle as, okay, who are our top college prospects? Who's somebody we need to watch out for? And on the Gulf Coast, you're going to hear the Michael Towner name a lot. He is a 6'2", 245, strong player for Viger, and he's still got another year left. And I know Coach John McKenzie's really going to be excited with that one.
Talking to Pigskin Pete on a Fired Up Friday Afternoon Game Plan, Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP. All right, was there a little controversy at the end of the ball game?
Unfortunately, it took a little bit. I had been in the press box most of the game, Dave, and when Viger went up 45-12, Brian Gennard and I, we decided to head down to the field so we could catch the press conference following the game. Got down there, and the first thing I see with a minute left, Vigor's going deep. And again, I mean, they're up 45 to, I mean, they were up big. And then a couple of plays later, they decided to go deep again and actually scored the touchdown with Anthony Mix hitting another touchdown. It was his third, I believe. And don't think it made Phil Phillips, the head coach over at Aniana, too happy. And I'll never forget the image that when they were doing the awards, I mean, the coach over there at Aniana was just continuing to talk with McKenzie, and just I'm sure he was just asking, you know, what was going on. Only explanation I heard, Dave, was there was a game last night in which Pike Road won the 5A championship. They scored 51, and they broke Viger's old record. And someone had told me that Viger was trying to get past that 51 mark so they could try to get a record again. But even though Viger's now in 4A, that was a 5A record. I believe the 4A record was like 70-something points. But even then, you kind of just, you know, you don't want to deflate that championship because what John McKenzie did with this team this year was unbelievable. But there was a buzz on the sidelines when that game ended, Dave, for sure.
It wasn't only a deep pass. They were throwing flea flickers.
Yeah, flea flickers. And I, you know, the coach, he's in his fourth year, Phil Phillips. One question was asked in the press conference about the flea flickers. Coach, and I think the reporter had to be kind of gentle with the question, but he was like, "Coach, did you practice for the flea flickers last week?" And he said, "Well, I'll put it this way. We knew about the flea flickers, but we figured they would throw it either in the first half or in a tight game in the second half," and he left it at that.
Right, wow.
I thought that was a kind of a pretty good way to handle that question when it was asked, but somebody did bring it up in the press conference in that post game.
Did anybody ask Coach McKenzie about it?
And I looked at Brian Denard before the press conference started, and I said, "What do you think the percentage someone's going to ask?" And Brian said, "Oh, somebody's going to ask," but nobody did.
Oh.
Nobody asked him about it.
Well, hold on here.
There's not much time. There's three players up there
right in
the press conference, and it never came up, but I guess he got out of there before it was brought up.
So you and Denard need to grow a spine, is what you're saying.
Well, or we need to be able to ask the questions quicker. How about that?
Okay, all right. I mean, you can just say, "Hey, Coach, what was the idea behind throwing it deep late in the game?"
Yeah. I think they like, I mean, that, you know, one thing I love about the High School Athletic Association, Dave, is they are extremely promote the positive in these players and these coaches. And when there's controversy, they kind of want to
outside
the conference room. They really want to keep that in a positive way. Ron Ingert is great there, but maybe that was a hesitation why anybody would not bring that up in the press conference. But, I mean, everybody was thinking about it. I mean, it was. You don't want to take anything away from a 4A state title. What Viger did was incredible. But that was a topic toward the end of that game.
All right, so I know Coach McKenzie was talking to Brian Denard about this, that they're really good, they're really young. But who's the quarterback next year?
Good question. You know, Anthony Mix, the senior, he's going to be, you know, leaving. And, you know, they got a couple of quarterbacks that are young that are, you know, waiting in the wings. They got a junior there, Farron Brown. I think they're going to be juggling to see who's the quarterback, but you're losing several good seniors. You've got a couple of good, really good wide receivers. Brennan May Jordan is going to be leaving. Jermaine Brown, the running back, and, of course, Anthony Mix, we mentioned him. Abraham Daniels, a big linebacker. Caleb Coleman had a big day today. He's a wide receiver. He's going to be graduating. So I think they're going to be just playing with the quarterback position next year. But a couple of players that are coming back, as I mentioned, Michael Towner, really good linebacker, junior, and Ja'Cory Barnes in the backfield, Dave. He had a big game. He's only a sophomore. He's got 2 years left. So, you know, the running back and several of the defensive backs, that's why I think Coach McKenzie, I mean, he said before the season started, he said, "We're going to be good this year, but watch out for next year." And that's kind of scary with what they did in 2021.
So I don't know how up-to-date this is, considering it says Anthony Mix is going to Saraland. But on 24/7, he has like 10 offers.
And they've really started up in the last couple, you know, 2 or 3 weeks, Dave.
Okay.
I think with the highlights, this may be one of his best games he played, to be on the spotlight. And I think college coaches love to see, okay, if you're going to get some of the best high school kids in your class and you're on a stage and you're playing in the stadium, by the way, Protective Stadium at UAB, super, super job. I love that stadium if you haven't had a chance to see it. But I think college coaches love to see a player coming in that can handle a big stage like that with his talent, Anthony Mix is going to get more offers. That number is going to continue to grow. He really is a pretty good quarterback.
I mean, Tom, like this week he got an offer from SMU. It says recruited by Rhett Lashley. And that just happened.
He's dangerous. I mean, he's a good player. He's a very accurate passer. But I think he's very smart with the football. If you watch him, he just don't throw it too much in bad coverage, and he'll, you know, tuck it in to run it if he has to. But he's extremely big. He's big for a normal size quarterback, and I think on the college level, that's, you're seeing more and more colleges go to that. It's not going to be surprising to me to see him at a pretty good college when it's said and done. I love that for Viger. Just getting that recognition down the road.
All right, Pigskin Pete, thank you for the wrap-up, and we will see you Monday for the Prep Spotlight.
Hey, thank you, Dave. Appreciate the time today.
All right, Pigskin Pete. All right, we're going to take a break. All right. We got some fired-up callers. Is that what's going on?
We do. Willing to wait. Wow. We'll hurry up and go to break and get to them.
Let's go to break. I mean, again, how updated this is. Anthony Mix has offers from Central Michigan, Kentucky, Memphis, Nebraska, South Alabama, Southern Miss, Troy, UAB, and now SMU. We're back after this. Sports Radio 105.5 WNSP.
Today's music on Sports Radio 105.5 is brought to you by 96.5 The Crab, classic rock and blues.
Hi, this is Mark Malone, former NFL quarterback. You're listening to 105.5 WNSP.
If he's still there, we're not wasting any more time. I think we have a new record. I know they stay on for Rome and others forever. St. David on for 13 and a half minutes. Go ahead, St. David. Thanks for holding.
Hey, Dave. Great show.
Thank you.
First of all, I've got a question. Does Perry normally talk like Brian Kelly at an LSU basketball game, or was he trying to make a point?
No, that is Perry through and through.
Okay, well, first of all, like you told Perry, the Saints' offense has been decimated by injuries. We could blame it on Michael Thomas, pillow pooping around in the offseason. We could blame it on the training and medical staff of the Saints, why the record's so bad. Heck, we could even blame it on Mickey Loomis for screwing up the cap so bad that the backup quarterbacks that we have are the only ones that we could afford. Or we could blame it on Jeff Ireland for not being able to scout quarterbacks better to get us better backup quarterbacks. There's a whole host of people we could blame for the record the Saints are having. It's just the Saints are having a down year.
That's
we knew it was going to be a down year because of Drew Brees retiring. But honestly, I want to know what Perry is smoking if he really believes Roger Goodell is going to do anything to help the New Orleans Saints.
Right,
I mean, the only thing Roger Goodell has ever done in his entire career to help the New Orleans Saints is help keep the Saints in New Orleans after Katrina, and that's because Paul Tagliabue said he had to.
Here's the thing, St. David. Why not go to Trevor Siemian last night after Taysom hurt himself?
I'm not the coach. I couldn't answer that question.
Well,
I mean, you know the love affair Sean Payton has with Taysom Hill.
I get it, but he couldn't throw the football after that. He's not the most accurate guy anyways, but he's missing Traquan Smith time and time again.
And here's another question for you.
Yeah.
Why haven't they called Phillip Rivers after the end of the St. Michael season coming back in for a half season?
We don't know that they didn't. We just haven't heard about it. I don't know if they have or not. Maybe you're right. I appreciate the call.
Roger Goodell still sucks.
Right. That we agree. Although he's a better commissioner than Rob Manfred.
That
may be tough to do.
Easily.
David also wants to talk about Viger. Go ahead, David.
What's going on, baby?
We're doing well.
Hello?
You got it.
Do you hear me?
Yeah. We got you.
What's going on, baby?
We good.
Viger Wolves won, man.
Yes, sir, man. We put up 52 on them balls, man. My thing about it is, what you mad about? You're supposed to stop them. At the end of the day, that's my thing about it. They weren't mad when they lost 33-0 in the regular season. So why you mad now? Because we put 52 on you, baby. Then we going to go back next year for back-to-back, baby. Oh, I I love calling WNSP, baby. I love it. I love it.
Thanks.
Oh, it's been a good day for the Viking Wolves, baby.
Well, congratulations.
What was wrong with 46 and 45?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, nothing was wrong with 46 and 45, but 52 just sound better, don't it?
Well, that's half a hundred.
That's true.
So I guess so.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, it'd be good sports about it. I mean, they did show up and they played a good game. Number 12, you know, he got rent over for Viger. You know, I wish he would have stood up a little bit better. You know what I'm saying? When number 5 had met him in that hole. But it's all good. We still came home with that blue map because we kind of came short 2 times before with that red map. So we'll take what we can get right about now, baby.
Congratulations.